Quarter, a weekly broadcast hosted by Dr. Gianni Hayes. Stay tuned. Things are about to get interesting. Welcome to the New World Order Disorder, a weekly broadcast hosted by Dr. Gianni Hayes. Stay tuned. Things are about to get interesting.
Listeners, you're here now for the second hour of my show, The New World Order Disorder, on the American Voice Radio Network, one of the best networks around anywhere. And people will vouch for that. And you can get us a whole bunch of different ways, which I told you in the first hour of the show. And that includes AM, FM radio stations, shortwave radio, iPods, cell phones, satellite, KU band, certainly by phone bridge, which is, you know, if you can't get us on the internet and all these other ways, you just dial 218-862-7200. Hey, let me do it again. 218-862-7200. And, you know, an automated voice comes on and says, please put in the code. And you put in 361113. If you have a speaker button on your phone, hit that. And you know what? Everybody in the house can hear this show just as if you were listening to it on a radio. So please check that out. Please, if you get the chance, go to TalkStream Live. Click on my name several times. And it helps raise us in the ratings. And what's important about that is that not so much that the show gets raised and important, but that the message of my guests go out to many multiple streams. And, you know, listeners, I hate to do this, but I still have not received word that anybody would like to sponsor my show. Is probably the longest I've gone without a sponsor, and I really need one. I need your help, and I know some of you have sent in some small donations to Frank to keep me on the air, but I'm asking you, if you know anyone who wants to sell a product, who has a service to offer, who has a book they want to talk about, you know, just ask them to sponsor the show, because Frank gives great rates. He offers commercials with those for those sponsors. And if you don't know anybody, then just go to the AmericanVoiceRadio.com and look at the address at Eagle's Nest and just send some money to Frank to keep me on the show. I'm only saying this because, you know, it's not fair that I'm on this show and Frank isn't getting his full amount of money. And, you know, I would like for that to happen. If it doesn't happen, then I'm going to tell you right now, I will leave the show because I don't want to be unfair. And so please just think about that. Think and maybe just send some money along to help sustain this show. I make no money from this show. None. I've been doing it about 7 years, and you can ask Frank. I've never taken one penny to do this show. It's my ministry, but I want to be fair to Frank, who he treats me very well. So please think about it. All right, my next guest, you know my next guest. He's been on many, many times. He's almost like, he's getting to be a point where he's like a co-host on my show. He's on so much. And that's my friend, John DiNardo. And, you know, John talks a lot about Planet X, and he will talk about Planet X tonight as well. And on my last speaking engagement, and I think at that point I was in Curacao, down there by South America, I had a gentleman come up to me and say to me, I believe NASA is very aware of Planet X. And I also told you that I did meet a NASA guy years ago at a party who had said, yeah, there was a Planet X. They didn't call it that. They gave it a number or something else, but he didn't really want to talk about it. So, yeah, John talks about Planet X. But I said to John, this time, let's not only just talk about Planet X, let's put some emphasis on the ongoing and increasing geological disasters that are happening worldwide. I mean, not just Japan, that's one, but, you know, there's the Cumbre Vieja volcano that I had written to John about, and he talked to me about it, and that baby blows. All of the East Coast is history, from parts of Canada all the way down to Florida. It's gone. And this is a little troublesome to me since I live on the East Coast and I live about 20 miles from the ocean. So, you know, that's a little troublesome. So he's going to talk tonight a little bit about Planet X and the effect that X is having on these that these geological disasters are being affected by Planet X. But he's mainly going to talk about the different tsunamis and earthquakes and flooding and lightning storms and, as I said, the eruptions and other kinds of crazy weather. So we can have a better understanding, including Yellowstone, which people need to be aware of what in the world is going on in our world. John earned his degree in science education from Keene University, and his electives were in physics and biology. I really admire that. I have 2 degrees in chemistry and biology and math, and I have a third degree, like he does, in science education, and my doctorate's in something else. But I know how hard the sciences are, because you don't go through your bachelor's and then 2 masters in chemistry and biology and the other sciences without really thinking you're going to expire right there in a classroom. It's so grueling and so hard. But for John, he's pretty much a whiz at this part of it that's physics and geology. So, you know, he taught high school physics before returning to his electronic career. During his 4.5 years in the Marine Corps, and he graduated from the Naval Air Technical Training Center in Memphis, Tennessee, as, and I put this in quotes, Scholastic Honor Man in the Aviation Electronics Technicians School. He also completed evening college courses in electrical engineering and in advanced mathematics. And let me tell you what, I do math. It's hard. And he did his in differential equations at Farley Dickinson University. He also performed troubleshooting and fault analysis and design of electronic circuitry, working for numerous corporations, including such corporations as Bendix Avionics and Dynalco in Fort Lauderdale, and McGraw Edison Corporation, as well as Time Corps, both in New Jersey. So, you know, John has this really big background in math and engineering and in physics, and he's just the one to give us the information that we need. And he's even had experience with Bell Telephone Labs and mobile vision and even police car video systems. So, you know, what else could we ask for from John? Welcome, John.
Hi, Gianni. It's a pleasure being with you and your audience.
Well, I always love having you. You know that. John, let's talk about what has been going on in the world today with all of these wild volcanic eruptions and earthquakes. And, you know, we know about Japan. That was just a horror story. But before we talk about all of these, the one thing I want to get out of the way right to start with, okay, is that there are a huge, there is a huge number of people who claim that part of these geological disasters, and I know where you stand on this, John, but I want to get it out in the open before we go ahead and talk about all these disasters. who claim that this, many of this has been certainly controlled by the government using HAARP and other techniques.
As I said, they may be using HAARP, but HAARP is like Robin, while Planet X is like Batman. The effects of Planet X are much greater than man could ever produce with HAARP. Certainly they do have the technology that they got from Tesla, whereby the atmosphere electrical effects are created between the ionosphere and the Earth ground. And it stimulates and can provoke earthquakes when directed towards certain points on the Earth's crust. But Planet X, this major brown dwarf star, had been discovered by, had been announced by the federal government of the United States as far back as 1983. And they had mentioned in this classic New York Times article that I have here. I won't read the whole article because we don't have much time, but I'll summarize it. From the New York Times, they stated that there has been a search for this Planet X by the entire astronomical community of the world ever since 1840, nearly 200 years. And the reason they knew that it existed was because there were perturbations or disturbances, the plucking of the outer planets, Uranus and Neptune, in their orbital revolution around the sun at one particular point. And they knew, all the astronomers, even as far back as the 1840s, knew that such perturbations could only be caused by some gravitational force, and that gravitational force was so great that it must have been generated by a very large, massive body. And that's how they knew that Planet X was there. There was no speculation about it at all. So the search for Planet X went on, and in fact, a name was given to it by 1900 by the famous astronomer Percival Lowell, who constructed the Lowell Observatory in Arizona. In the late 1980s, the government of the United States, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, put this New York Times report out. They issued this information that they were launching the infrared astronomical satellite. It was a satellite which would use infrared light to detect bodies that were too dark, that did not emit visible light. They believed that this brown dwarf star was there, but it could not be seen because it was not large enough to ignite like a sun or a star, and therefore they needed instruments that emitted infrared or detected infrared light. And sure enough, they discovered it in December 30th, 1983, and there was a landmark article of heralding this discovery on the front page of the Washington Post. So I have both the New York Times article and the Washington Post article. In this Washington Post article, they state that a massive mystery body, possibly as large as Jupiter, has been discovered, and it's so close that it's a part of our solar system, and it is within the gravitational influence of our sun.
Well, all right, John, we know that. You've been on enough times and told us that most listeners are very familiar with the Planet X. They understand what it's all about. So we're not going to deny that Planet X exists, because, scientists are saying that it does exist, although there are bodies of it, of people who say it doesn't. That's neither here nor there. So let's talk about, first of all of these things that you and I had discussed that I would like to talk about, the different volcanoes and tsunamis, et cetera, et cetera. And you can certainly bring in some of Planet X with that, but let's look at all of these. Let's start with the Japanese earthquake. Is it because the plates are shifting more so in that area than anywhere else?
The Japan earthquake did occur at the juncture of two major tectonic plates, the Philippine plate and the Pacific plate. I'm not sure, but according to the news reports, off the coast of Japan was where the earthquake occurred, and that was the juncture of two tectonic plates. That was a major earthquake, 9.0, and we're not sure if the magnitude, they have actually modified the magnitude scales so that we're not even, these magnitude readings now give us an erroneously low reading of all earthquakes ever since the last 20 years. They modified the earthquake scales to make them look less severe than they actually are. This in itself is an indication that there's a cover-up going on. And many scientists have said that their government, USG...
John, your voice keeps fading out. John, your voice is breaking up. I'm having a hard time hearing you. I catch a little bit of what you say, then it dies.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, anyway, the government has been covering up the intensity, the magnitudes of these earthquakes by changing the Richter scale. Well, there's more information, too, where I'm looking at, in addition to the Japan earthquake, we had, which was a 9.0, according to this modified scale, that is. We've also had a major New Zealand earthquake not very long ago, you'll recall. We also had a Chilean earthquake, which was huge, with maybe about a year or so ago. And
you're still breaking up. John, your cell, I don't know if you're on a cell phone or a regular phone, but it's breaking up.
Really, I'm on a landline. So it's not my voice.
Now
it's actually
better.
A technical problem, right?
Well, now it's a little bit better, but earlier it was going in and out and fading. You know, it just could be maybe it's the air where I am. You know, maybe it's so hot out here that it could be doing that.
I'll try it. Okay. Well, thanks for telling me. I'll shout louder. So anyway,
just shout at me, John, like you're mad.
Okay. We've had these major earthquakes. We had the huge one in Japan. We've had the major earthquake in Chile. We've had one in Haiti, which the people of Haiti are still suffering in great deprivation and misery from that earthquake in Haiti. We've had the China earthquake in 2008 where like 70,000 people were killed. We had the New Zealand earthquake. We had the so many earthquakes I can't even count them all. In addition to that, we've had major floods, historic floods, that are like 1,000-year floods. They break all records in countries around the world. In Pakistan, the entire nation of Pakistan was flooded out, as you recall, about a year ago. We had floods in Poland. We've had floods in Portugal, major floods all across the United States, in just about every region, the Northwest, in Washington State, California, Texas, you name it, Baltimore, that your area too, New England. So all around the world, major floods are occurring. At the same time, we're seeing windstorms of unprecedented intensity. We're seeing super tornadoes like we never saw before. I mean, these tornadoes are breaking all records, and it's just horrible to think of what happened to the people in Joplin, Missouri. The widest tornado and the longest lasting, it went on for 6 miles, and it was an F5, which is at the top of the scale, meaning the wind speed was about the highest that has ever been recorded. And it just, as we all know, it just turned that town of Joplin, Missouri, into rubble. And, of course, we had the Tuscaloosa, Alabama super tornado. So these are disasters. There's no way for the government to downplay this. What they try to do is just ignore it. You don't hear much talk from the government, but you hear a lot of talk from independent researchers and even average people who are amazed at the number of natural disasters that are increasing that we're having in recent years. I'm looking at a graph here which gives you more technical evidence that we do have an increase. I emailed this page to you, among other links, and it shows a distinct, huge increase in earthquakes between 7.0 magnitude and 8.0 magnitude during the decade of from the year 2000 to 2010. So there's one graph. I've got another graph that confirms it, that there has been a sharp increase in earthquakes in the last decade. Likewise with volcanic eruptions, there have been increased volcanic eruptions. We recall the one in Greenland, Iceland, about 2-3 years ago, which halted most of the major air traffic from Europe. And now these volcanoes are heating up and exploding again right now in Iceland. In fact, we saw on the Weather Channel just a couple of days ago where the volcanoes were erupting, and there were actually lightning flashes within the volcano due to the particles of ash that had picked up electric charge, and there were opposite charges, positive and negative charges on these ashes, such that these masses of opposite charged ash clouds would discharge between one another and cause lightning within the volcanic cloud that was lofting out of the volcano. So it's getting severe. All types of natural disasters are increasing. We can talk specifically about the East Coast threat. I had established an East Coast tsunami website back in 2005, and I never did continue with it. I think now the threat is getting great enough that I'm hoping that maybe we can attract people who live along the Atlantic shore and let them, and because they're becoming more concerned about the danger to their lives as people living along the shore, they may get involved in this East Coast tsunami website. Or we need to get together, because if there is a tsunami that would be generated by the collapse of the Cumbre Vieja volcanic mountain in the Canary Island chain.
That's in the Canary Islands, right?
Right. The Canary Island chain is off the west coast of Africa. And on that island, there's one island in that chain called La Palma, L-A-P-A-L-M-A. And the entire island is one volcanic mountain, and that mountain is called the Cumbre Vieja, C-U-M-B-R-E-V-I-E-J-A. And in a wonderful documentary done by the British Broadcasting Company and the Discovery Channel, which I have recorded, they describe geologists Simon Day and Bill McGuire, who are stationed on the island, describe how that western flank of the entire mountain has been separated from the island, from the mountain proper, ever since 1949 by a gap of about 12 feet. So it's like a brick placed on the top of a sliding board, and it's waiting. Its only friction is keeping it from sliding into the ocean and causing what would be a landslide-driven tsunami. Now, landslide-driven tsunamis are known to be about 10 times greater than regular undersea earthquake-driven tsunamis, because what happens is a mass of rock plunges into the ocean, and it displaces far more water in its plunge than the actual volume of the rock itself. And as a result, it creates a huge tidal wave. It would make the Asian tsunami of 2004, Christmas 2004, look small. What they estimate, the scientists at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology say that when this western flank weighing 1/2 trillion tons, slides into the Atlantic Ocean, on the west coast of the mountain, from their research, they've done small-scale modeling and computer modeling, and conservatively estimate that the first wave from that initial plop of that half-trillion-ton mountain slab into the ocean will create a wave about twice the height of the Empire State Building. That wave then will level off somewhat as it goes through the deep ocean. And when it gets to it'll travel at a velocity, according to the scientists at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, the velocity will be 450 miles an hour. It will take 8 hours to go from the west coast of Africa to the east coast of the Americas, all the way from Nova Scotia, all the way down Boston, New York, Norfolk, Miami, and all even down to the South American coast. Take about 8 hours to get there. Now, when people are sleeping...
How far would it go inland? Would it just get the edge of the coast, or is it going to go inland to D.C. or beyond that, or what?
You know, it depends on on the average, it's going to be about... They say it's going to be about 15 miles inland. that's what I recall them... them stating. However, it depends on the altitude of the land, of course. If you're in a higher altitude area, it won't go as far and you'll be safer. But on the average, it would be about 15 miles inland. As we know, when a tsunami gets to a shallow shore from the deep sea, you have that huge volume of wave that had been, comprising the entire depth of the ocean, the deep ocean. But when it reaches the shore, because there's not much depth to the water, it's very shallow, the wave begins to rear up. All that mass of water has nowhere to go, and it just rears up into a very high peak. And they estimate that the amplitude of that peak would be at least 60 stories high. And if you've seen the movie The Day After Tomorrow, that's what they portray.
All right. Hey, John, we got to do a quick break here, and we're going to come back and talk some more. Stay tuned, listeners. We're coming right back. All right, listeners, we are back. This is Dr. Gianni Hayes is my guest. John DiNardo has been on my show many times, and we are talking about geological disasters. And, John, I know we were saying that the frequency of increase of these disasters is just astronomical. From what it used to be, I think you sent me something that it says that there are leaps of even 50% from what it was not too long ago in the 1990s. So, we have a situation where we're seeing almost on a daily basis someplace in this world where there is a geological disaster. And you're right. Haiti is a disgrace for humankind that those people still do not have homes. However, the side note to that, of course, is it's the government down there, and it's not that the people haven't tried to help them. Worldwide, they have. The government appears to be holding a lot of the things, foods and supplies, that these people really do need. But, you mentioned also, John, about lightning with volcanoes. And I don't know if you saw this on the news yesterday, but I've been to Kilauea in Hawaii and stood right at that crater. And it's just an amazing, amazing volcano. And I watched it dump lava right into the ocean. But you know what? They showed that Kilauea is now more active than it's been in a long time. It's so active that it had bolts of lightning in it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that seems to be a phenomenon of the rising electrified particles of dust, ash, that are spewed up from the volcano. They pick up electric charge just as droplets of water does when water evaporates and rises upward to form clouds. Dust particles pick up static electricity, and that static electricity from these tiny droplets of rising vaporized water accumulate in the cloud to the point where there's such an accumulation that the electric potential, the high voltage, is generated by the clouds. And the higher the voltage, its electrical potential energy, the higher the voltage, the greater the potential for discharging to the ground. Eventually, the voltage builds up to the point where it will discharge, and that is what we see as a lightning bolt. Likewise, we see the same thing with this volcanic ash.
We know, right, John? I mean, most people, I think, have the concept down that, the Earth is sitting on the Ring of Fire, which essentially is plates, tectonic plates, that crack and close. They have subduction and different motions that can bring on these earthquakes. So that then says, John, that there is something that's going on within that core of the Earth that is bringing this on. And I know that you believe that it's Planet X, and I'm not saying you are wrong one iota, because I would be the last person to say that. If I did, if I thought that, I would not bring you on my show so often. But nonetheless, whatever it is, if it's Planet X And apparently, if that's the case, it is the demon in all of this. However, why is the government and the media hiding from telling us the truth about the increase in earthquakes, tsunamis, flooding, etc., volcanic eruptions, and not telling us about it, and not even talking about Planet X?
Well, as we know, the government is comprised of people who are self-serving, and they do not serve the public whatsoever. They disserve the public. What they want to avoid, desperately want to avoid, is alarming the people. Even if we had a responsible government, which we do not have, even that a responsible government would not want to warn the people about possible disasters, because it would likely cause the people to become alarmed and change their buying habits. And of course, what happens when people become alarmed over a threat of natural disasters, they lose their fear of the power elite that rules over them. And now the power elite does not exercise the control and domination over the people that they had before. In fact, people might not even pay their taxes if they knew that there were natural disasters that would overwhelm all of mankind, including the powers that be. And, of course, that's the last thing they want, is people rebelling against their financial wealth, financial income, and their political control over the people. So that's the reason why. All governments are corrupt, and that's why we're not hearing it. So we, the people, have to take the responsibility ourselves to unite. Now, I'm going to give some positive ideas that perhaps we can work together with other people and develop these ideas, and other people can refine the ideas somewhat, because we need to try to save lives, our own lives included. The first idea is this EastCoastTsunami.org website that I had left dormant for the last 5 or 6 years. I think we still have the website. It's just dormant, but we can revive it again. On this website, I was hoping to get to appeal to many people, especially emergency personnel, people who are rescuers, people who care about saving lives, such as firemen and emergency personnel who live directly on the Atlantic shore, from Nova Scotia all the way down to Central America and South America. And these people could go to the wonderful internet that brings us all together as a community and give and help to keep each other informed by having a unified data bank where everyone's input could be considered and calculated, compiled together to show us the ongoing threat day by day of this East Coast tsunami. Of course, the greatest, the best volcanologists in the world have the data as to the daily, moment-by-moment activity of the Cumbre Vieja volcano. So we can watch it. And when we see that volcano becoming active, starting to heat up, we know, according to what the scientists at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology tell us in that wonderful documentary titled Mega Tsunami, which you can probably see on YouTube. Just look up Mega Tsunami. The scientists say that we have, what was I going to say now?
Well, join my club. I forget what I'm saying in mid-sentence, too. Anyways.
They tell us that we have a certain number of hours to get out of the area. Now, 8 hours is not going to be enough time. That's the time it takes for the volcano, for the tsunami to travel from the west coast of Africa to the east coast of the Americas. So what we need to do is find out when that volcano begins to erupt, when it begins to heat up. And what they tell us is the steam from that volcano is going to cause the gap, the margin, where that flank, that dislocated flank of the volcanic mountain rests, that margin will become less friction, reduced in friction because of the steam that will build up from the heating up of the volcano. So you'll have steam created between the margin of the dislocated flank, causing that flank to slide right into the ocean like a brick would slide down a well-greased sliding board. So when you see the volcano heat up, take off. Everybody, I mean, we need to have a nation, you know, not a nationwide, but an East Coast-wide alert system going where people can know that this is about to happen, or it's very likely to happen. We could even chart the degree of danger, tsunami landslide danger, on a scale where people can watch it moment by moment or day to day, day by day. And when they see this thing heating up and ready to slide into the ocean, you get in, you have an emergency kit packed, you take the family in the car and you drive away from the East Coast. You drive west for a day or two. Take off from work, call in sick, but just get away. Now, it may not erupt, and there may be no tsunami, but when the threat reaches a certain level of peril, people at least will have the opportunity to flee. Because if you flee when the government says, okay, you've got 3 hours before the tsunami hits, you know what will happen. There's going to be mass chaos and mass death. There will be gridlock on the roads in 5 minutes.
Yeah, you know, but here's an interesting thing, and a lot of people don't even know this, but Delaware, and right below Delaware is the eastern shore of Maryland. In other words, it's the western shore of Maryland, which is where Baltimore is and D.C., and the eastern shore is where there is Ocean City, Maryland, Salisbury, Maryland, and several other cities and towns. And then there is an eastern shore of Virginia. There's a western shore of Virginia, such as Arlington. The eastern shore of Virginia has things such as Only, and it has Wallops Island, which is a NASA facility. And below that, then, is Norfolk, and to go anywhere from there, you have to go through the Chesapeake Bay Tunnel Bridge, which is different from the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. You go underwater in the tunnel at the end of Virginia on the eastern coast. Well, my point is, the people that come from the part of where Wilmington and Philly meet, down all the way to Norfolk, the only way those people can get off of that strip, it's a big peninsula of land, is that they have to cross either the Chesapeake Bay Bridge or the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. Now, you're talking of millions of people. And how in the world are they going to be able to do that when there's only two ways in and two ways out? And these bridges and tunnels are not made 6 lanes long. They're 2 lanes on each side of the bridge. So, you know, they're all going to be going one way. They're going to go in a direction that's west, towards the western shore of Maryland, towards the western shore of Virginia. So, John, there are going to be a ton of people on the East Coast from Wilmington down to Norfolk, Virginia, and they are not going to get off of that land.
So it's
and
obvious,
I am one of them.
Yeah, so it's obvious that we need at least several days' advance warning.
Yes.
We cannot wait until the buoys in the Atlantic Ocean sense a tsunami and tell us that we get an alert back and telling us in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning that a tsunami is coming in 3 hours. People will be asleep. They wouldn't even hear the news reports anyway. They would be dead before they even got out of bed. So we need several days' warning. It's up to us. The government is going to let us die. They would rather let many people die than risk collapsing the economy, impairing the economy with this threat of a tsunami. So
well, they're going to go in the bunkers, aren't they, John?
Yeah, well, there are definitely underground cities throughout the country. I mean, there's one in Mount Weather not far from you in the in the Appalachian area. There's another one in the Denver area underneath in the bowels of Cheyenne Mountain, a huge one that was photographed by Governor Jesse Ventura in his True TV documentary, Apocalypse 2012. And I would recommend that you go to YouTube and just look at that. You could see all six parts of Apocalypse 2012, Jesse Ventura. which show that they are going underground. They're going to leave us up here on the surface to perish. That's the kind of people we have ruling our country. But we all knew that anyway with the New World Order, that they were, basically destroying us as a people in every which way, destroying our freedom and also, causing us to perish in natural disasters. So we have to take it upon ourselves to unite. Thank goodness we have the Internet.
Yeah, but, still, when things get bad, and, that this particular, if it's Cumbre Vieja that's going to erupt, that Internet's not going to be working for long. So, you're right, we have to find a way. But what I want to know, and this is something that I'm upset about as well, John, is why are the media not telling us about the increase in natural disasters and the fact that the government is not worried because they have their bunkers to go to?
Yeah, I mean, you can see the duplicity in the media. The media is a branch of the government, and the government is a branch of the power elite, the wealthy elite of the world. They own and operate the government of the United States and the government of all the nations of the world, essentially, or most of the nations. So, and of course, the media is owned by the banking cartels. If you look at the ownership, you can't even find out who owns the networks. If you wanted to, they're holding companies. But there you go. So that's why we're not being told, because we have...
Well, you can find out who owns them, John, if they haven't fiddled with them since I last researched it. And you go to Columbia Journalism, and it gives every medium and who owns it. And when I last checked it, and I've checked it for several years in a row over a period of a decade, essentially, they were all the same each time I checked. I haven't checked lately, but you can go to Columbia Journalism, which is a Columbia University School of Journalism. They put up there who owns what media. What it gets down to, John, is that there are a handful of six people or groups or organizations that own all the mainstream media, newspapers, radio, television, magazines. So there's part of your answer. But the people, the Diane Sawyers, the people who do these shows, who do the mainstream media, 6 o'clock, 11 o'clock news, why can't they break away and say, listen, people, are you aware there's a Planet X? Are you aware of the increase in natural disasters? Are you aware that there is a volcano that people are looking out for? It's called Cumbre Vieja that could be wipe out all of our East Coast. Do you know that Yellowstone has increased in its force and magnitude in underneath it because the springs are getting so hot?
Well, that would be suicide for their careers. And those, being people who are also concerned only with their careers, they would not risk being honest and seeing their careers destroyed. Happened with Rosie O'Donnell when she talked about 9/11. She had the courage to go on The View and talk about the truth about 9/11, and now she's out of there promptly. And Charlie Sheen is in trouble, too, for speaking about 9/11. So you can see why how dangerous it is to a celebrities or a personality's career if they speak the truth. They're very tightly controlled. So it's up to us as a people to unite, because otherwise we will see many of us be killed in these natural disasters. We've got to watch that Cumbre Vieja. It's not difficult to monitor its activity, and when we see it erupting or beginning to simmer and begin to increase in its activity, according to the various volcanologists around the world on the Internet, then we just pack up the car and drive westward for a couple of days, get a motel, take a little two-day trip. It's not easy because you'd be taking a lot of trips, but it's better than being killed. If we stay there and wait till it happens, there is no hope of escaping from the East Coast once that tsunami begins to roll across the Atlantic Ocean, because it's in 8 hours, it's there. 8 hours is not enough time for for the people to get on the roads, there will be immediate gridlock. Now, likewise, we got the same problem on the West Coast with the Kilauea, and there's another volcano in the Hawaiian island chain. I forget the name of it.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Right, and these volcanoes are also very top-heavy. After many thousands of years of erupting, the lava builds up on the volcano, and it's like having a triple-decker ice cream cone, you know, in the summertime. After a while, that ice cream begins to topple over because it's top-heavy and it's getting soft. Well, likewise with these volcanic islands in the Hawaiian island chain, when that thing topples, and here's another threat, another thing that causes instability of the volcanic island, there is erosion underneath below the sea level, erosion of the base of the volcanic island. So now you've got a real huge triple-decker ice cream cone with a little tiny cone supporting it all. So that eventually that thing is going to topple into the ocean, and you'll have a mega landslide-driven tsunami with probably a peak wave when it hits the western coast greater than the east coast tsunami. So the people on the west coast have to do the same thing. They have to monitor these volcanoes. But now there's another threat on the west coast, that you have this Cascadia subduction zone off the west coast of Washington State and Oregon. And as you mentioned, the subduction zone is when one plate is buckled underneath the other plate, and there's a tension, a lateral tension on the edge of that plate, and causing it to try to snap upward. And when you have that snapping motion, with that kind of a long, very long tectonic juncture, such as the Cascadia subduction zone, you've got a great, great threat of a tsunami. In fact, you know there was a tsunami already. They have determined from archaeological studies going back 300 years, they found out that there was a major tsunami that hit Japan in the year 1700. They even have it down to the day and the hour. According to the Japanese records, that Cascadia subduction zone split caused a tsunami that wiped out all the forests along the coast of Washington State, inundated them, and also sent a tsunami that really wreaked havoc on Japan. So that's about to happen again, especially with these earth traumas and stresses that are building up from this incoming Planet X, its magnetic fields and its gravitational field, all creating stresses on the Earth and heating up the Earth's core also, just as a microwave oven would heat up the food inside the chamber. Because electromagnetic radiation waves would be generated, are generated by moving charge. And this Planet X is saturated with plasma, which is electrified gas. And it's so you have electric charge on this body in motion. And electric charge in motion creates a billowing out magnetic field. And also many space bodies accompany this Planet X because this Planet X is like has such gravitational influence that it captures many comets, thousands of comets in its field. It's like a beehive with swarms of bees swimming around it. So we've got to get together and try to head off some of the deaths that are going to occur from these myriad natural disasters, floods.
All right, let's talk about Yellowstone. Okay.
Okay, Yellowstone's getting heated up. There's some evidence from the government now. A friend of mine knows a USGS geologist, and I feel a little uncomfortable talking about this. I mentioned it to Andy when he was the host of your show, but I've got to talk about it. This geologist, 4 years ago now, was saying, told my friend Mark, and Mark passed it on to me, that the USGS geologist said 4 years ago that the government, he and his geologists, in the government, expect land masses to arise out of the Gulf of Mexico. And sure enough, we had the last year we had that BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. However, that's essentially a cover-up. there's more than just one little leak in that from that one volcanic that volcano under the sea. In fact, Matthew Simmons, a high level oil industry executive, went on national television on Fox News and explained that these eruptions of oil were all over the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico. And Keith Olbermann referred to congressional testimony that stated that the reason why they promptly put the Corexit down was not to break up the oil, but to mask the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico so that we could not determine what was actually going on, all the eruptions that were occurring. So we have confirmation of this U.S. geologist, U.S. Geological Survey geologist testimony 4 years ago that indeed there's breaking up of the seabed. Now, recently I spoke with somebody else who is an employee in this field of oceanographic study, and he has confirmed that indeed there are pockets, bulges, coming up all over the seabeds of the world. And these pockets of methane, these are pockets of methane gas that are bulging up. They have buoys that they drag along in ships. And these buoys have sensors that transmit signals out to determine where there's an irregularity or a protrusion in the seabed. And that tells the companies, the oil or gas exploration companies, where there are pockets of methane gas that they can tap into for profit. So they're trying to make a profit here off of all these natural disasters and not telling us that when these things erupt, we're going to have tsunamis. I mean, we're going to have tremendous disasters. In fact, he's telling me that there are fires that have occurred when an aircraft flies low over these areas where there's methane bursts coming out from the seabed of the ocean in various parts of the world, even up near Alaska. When methane comes up, it rises and it begins to saturate the air above the ocean surface. The airplane static charge discharges like a little lightning bolt and causes fire on the surface.
Well, John,
of the water.
We are out of time, and again, you were a great guest, and, you know, maybe I'd like to finish this conversation with you. So let me talk to you after the show sometime this week, and we'll set another date, okay?
Okay, thank you, Gianni.
All right, thank you, John, and listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Tune in next week when we have a great show. And thank you, Frank, the owner and producer. Good night, everybody. God bless.